What's good, y'all? It's your boy CMJ bringing y'all another edition of this Total Fandom Fantasy Postseason Synopsis with Montgomery Brawl on tap this time, owned by Makai. I've done multiple takes for this episode because I don't know how I want to tell this. I didn't know how I wanted to tell this story. I'm gonna wing it with this one for sure. This take, I'm winging it. Let me just get right to it. So coming into the 23-24 fantasy season, Makai and Montgomery Brawl, MGB for short, there were questions. The real major questions surrounding the franchise were, could this team just be a consistent threat for the postseason, let alone a title? You know, Makai and MGB won the CFL championship back in 2021 and did it quite impressively, I might add. You know, just to provide some context, this team's inaugural season was in 2020, where they went 9-5 in the CFL West, finished third and missed the postseason. And, you know, Makai would be the one to tell you that they were supposed to make the postseason that year. So that definitely fueled the 2021 13-2 regular season run on their way to a 15-2 CFL championship, the best record we've had ever by any team in the regular season and postseason combined. So a good 2020, a good first season, though they didn't make the playoffs, still look 9-5 record is really good. An outstanding 2021, and then 2022 is where it gets really interesting. There was an idea, making it sound like this is the Avengers. Excuse me. There was an idea was proposed that we would throw all of the previous champions into one division and see how that worked out, see how that turned out. So Juice is Loose, Goat Gang, and MGB were thrown into the CFL South. None of these teams had played in this division before, so we threw those teams in the CFL South and added a fourth team in Burrito Supreme to historically Burrito Supreme hasn't been a competitive team, but the commissioner I know knows football, and so we just threw them in. We needed a fourth team. So, and besides, you know, at this time, only six teams are making the playoffs, so it's already unlikely that three teams are making the playoffs. And it would have been one hell of a story if Burrito Supreme would have came out on top in that division in 2022, but that's neither here nor there. So 2022, following Makai's championship run in 2021, they went 8-7 and missed the postseason by one game. Finished second in the CFL South behind Goat Gang, who went 9-6. So another season where they basically finish with a positive record but don't make the postseason, and you have a championship season sandwiched in between those. It feels so weird. It feels like, man, like I just like I, you know, you go 9-5 the first season, miss the postseason, 13-2. On their way to the best record ever in the league championship run, then 8-7, missed the postseason the next year. I know for Makai, it didn't really raise questions for him, but it does raise questions for the outside peripheral. You know, like, don't get me wrong, like we said, like, I don't know if I've mentioned this already, but, you know, going into the 2023 season, MGB had and still does have the second highest regular season winning percentage at 68%. So you would think this team would be in the postseason more often than not. Fast forward to the 2023 season. And, you know, there's something to prove. You know, last year, MGB missed the postseason. Go Gang made it in the division. The only champion to make it in the postseason from that champions division in the 2022. And, you know, Goat Gang had a Super Bowl berth. Didn't win at all. So that didn't loom over MGB's head too heavily going into 2023. But still, that, you know, that definitely weighed into the competitive fervor. Well, in addition, going into 2023, MGB was 0-3 all-time against Go Gang. So that was something they were definitely looking to rectify going into this season. So let me get in, let me get right into this year. 2023 was a storybook season, I'm not gonna lie. And there was no point in time that MGB had a negative record. There was no point in time that MGB was even 500. Positive record all year. This team was competing for the division title. They weren't competing for a wild card spot. So, and like one of a handful of teams that we could say was on pace to make the postseason from the start and finished strong. Definitely finished strong at the end of the regular season, but I mean not just at the end of the postseason, but at the end of the regular season as well. So anyway, I'm gonna just do some important notes here. Like, Makai executed only two trades throughout the entire season. The week one trade before the week one match against Colts Nation, the CFL South division rival, they traded Najee Harris and Jordan Addison for AJ Brown, which was, in my opinion, a come up, a huge come up for Montgomery Brawl. And there were a lot, I know there were at least half a dozen teams vying for AJ Brown at that time. So for them to get Najee Harris and Jordan, for them to get AJ Brown for Najee Harris and Jordan Addison at that time was, in my opinion, really awesome. And so they execute that trade early in the season. That's a win there off the rip. And so you go into week one with the roster with Lamar Jackson, Bijan Robinson, James Conner, AJ Brown, Tyler Higbee. And the roster's good, man. Listen, Makai's definitely, before I get into the schedule and everything, Makai's definitely a fantasy manager I know puts a lot of time into how they go into the draft and, you know, the players that they're looking to acquire once the draft is over, you know. Don't get me wrong, this team didn't look too spicy coming out of the draft, but I wasn't doubting that Makai could make the postseason. Like, I was looking at Looney Tunes and thinking, like, I don't know if that team's making the postseason, you know? So, even though Looney Tunes went ahead and proved us wrong, you know, like, you know, so, kudos. But anyway, we here. And Michael Pittman was on this roster, George Pickens. The receiving corps really wasn't all that. So that's why they had to go get AJ Brown. That really solidified this team. That they really didn't need to make. They really didn't need to make moves to upgrade this roster. This is probably one of the better rosters on paper when healthy, consistent-wise. And Makai knew it. Makai knew that he had one of the better rosters on paper and that he didn't have to do too much. Like, he didn't have to trade. He didn't have to trade Lamar Jackson. He didn't have to trade Bijan. He didn't have to make those drastic moves to upgrade anywhere else on the roster. Like, trade Najee Harris and Jordan Addison for AJ Brown was A+, right? Also, excuse me. I had to spark my real quick. So let me get into the schedule real quick. So they started the season, MGB started the season 3-0, 2-0 in divisional wins so far at this point, and really an impressive start. 120, 127, 144 points scored in the first 3 weeks. Even in the week four, lost to Easy Clap, 127. You know, the AJ Brown trade really supplemented the team's core pillars in Lamar and in Bijan. But Tyler Higbee really wasn't pulling his weight at tight end, though it wasn't dragging the team down too much. They did take two losses in week four and week five, so they were 3-2, but they did follow it up with some double down on how important a win was, but it was these were some pivotal wins in week six and seven, one against Hartsteel and one in week seven against Go Gang, in which they traded AJ Brown for TJ Hawkinson, Jalen Warren, and Josh Downs, who essentially basically won him that game. These guys were producing and definitely produced that day. The score was 130 to 118, and this was the first win in the history of MGB against Go Gang. So this was very vindicating for that team, but they knew this wasn't enough. So at this time, following week seven, they're 5-2. Now, something I'm not sure, you know, I mean, you're not going to win every game. So, you know, lose week eight to never lose. And I believe the week nine loss to Rose Raid, just out of nowhere, really is the reason why this team didn't win the division. And I'm going to point out as to why. So at this time, this was during a time that James Conner was hurt and they had to start Zach Moss at the RB2. Josh Downs just had a bad game. TJ Hawkinson played good. Everybody played really relatively well. Bijan Robinson had a bad game. Lamar had a bad game. This was just a down week. George Pickens had a down game. Like, this was just a down week in week nine. And it's crazy that even though following this game where they lost to Rose Raid, a division rival, in week nine, they finished the season with a 6-1 record. I mean, 5-1 record, excuse me. That alone speaks to how volatile some of these games could be, because they lost the week nine match 69-126, but then you win five of your last six, averaging 120, 109, 109, 137 here, 199 there. So it's like, you know, I mean, that was the only game, week nine was the only game that Montgomery Brawl scored anything less than 90 points. And they only scored less than 100 points three times all season. And only a couple of those were losses. One of those was wins, where they scored less than 100 points. So, I mean, still an impressive showing for Montgomery Brawl. And really, if you go back and look at that week nine loss, or not week nine loss, but following that week nine loss where they tailed three straight wins off and had a close, not close loss, but had a tough loss to Andy Reid's mustache in week 13. Like, this team still stepped up when it mattered most. It didn't really affect them. Swept Goat Gang in the regular season, division matchups. So that definitely rectified last year's sweep. And then, you know, they're going into the postseason. Really, you know, the real questions for this team were just at wide receiver. Could George Pickens and Michael Pittman step up and be consistent when it mattered most in the postseason? They had everything else they needed. They had a quarterback, they had running backs, they had tight ends. They didn't really need George Pickens and Josh Downs and Michael Pittman to go ahead and be like, nah, I ain't gonna show up today, you know? So we get to the postseason. MGB finishes the year 10-5. Strong record. Another strong record for MGB. Another 10-plus win season. I mean, another season where they don't... come on now. I at this point, we can start putting them in the at least Looney Tunes tier. They have a championship. They just made the postseason 10-5. I know they didn't win a division title, but they... It's not like Looney Tunes has... Well, Looney Tunes does have two division titles. MGB just has one. But still, good. They have a higher regular season winning percentage. Anyway, to get to the postseason, MGB has to face off against Andy Reid's mustache in the first round. Now, Andy Reid's mustache, owned by Amari, scored the most points this year by far. It wasn't even close. 1,900 points is a hallmark. That is a lot of points per week, and it's oddly enough, they didn't finish as the one seed, but still, and it's another historic run. I'll talk about Andy Reid's mustache when I get there, but they did have to face the highest scoring team in the first round of the playoffs, and when I tell you that MGB, I don't know what happened. I don't know what they said to them boys in the locker room, but 144 points. Okay, taking out the highest scoring team in the first week, and that team scored 129 points. So it was 144-129. That match, in fantasy terms, could have went either way. You already know. So then you go to the next week where you play Looney Tunes. Now this right here, this is an interesting unspoken rivalry that I will, I guess, speak into existence now, but I guess it's still unspoken. But Montgomery Brawl and Looney Tunes up until this season. No, I'm not even gonna paint that picture. Anyway, so we enter this semifinal round. This is the match that if you win, you garner a Super Bowl berth. This is it right here. And it was a good game. Everybody showed up. Everybody and their mama showed up. Jaylen Warren showed up. Bijan showed up. George Pickens showed up. You know, really the highlight of this entire year for MGB was facing off against division rival Goat Gang in the finals, where they came out on top 95-88. That was a match that definitely could have went either way. And now MGB has two championships along with Goat Gang. So now we can start having a real discussion about, like, who's the biggest threat to Goat Gang, MGB or Looney Tunes? Because now MGB is in the same division with Goat Gang. They got to see them twice a year. Looney Tunes, you know, you maybe got to see them once on the schedule, maybe once in the playoffs, you know. Still a threat, but now, I mean, this cements a legacy. Now MGB is just like, you know, Looney Tunes, like, you know, we playing for glory. We playing for more rings. We playing for, you know, see who's the best. You know, at this point in time, we want to make, well, we want to make comparisons. We're like, you know, where would we put MGB on the list? Like, all time. I think the championships matter. So they, in theory, no, not in theory, the championships matter. You'd have to put them ahead of Looney Tunes right now, because they've both been in the league for the same amount of seasons. And the two times that Makai has made it to the playoffs, he's won the championship. Even though Marcellus and Looney Tunes have not missed the playoffs at all in four seasons, and are a consistent threat to win the title and have one title. This is a really rousing debate that we could have now, thanks to what Makai did this year. So, and then we don't even bring up Goat Gang, and, you know, like, I'm not gonna say that, you know, like, MGB and Looney Tunes, they're surpassing him, but like, they're surpassing Goat Gang, but like, they're inching closer, you know what I'm saying? Like, inching closer and closer. Like, all it takes is one bad season. All it takes is one bad season from Goat Gang and for Looney Tunes and MGB to continue on this upward trajectory and stay consistent, for the winning percentages to even out. And, you know, I mean, it's going to take a few years for them to catch up in division titles, but championship wise, I mean, it's not as out of the realm of possibilities for them as it is for other teams that don't even have a title. So, especially teams that these are teams that are competing on a yearly basis. And I hate to be bringing up another team while I'm talking about MGB, but this is important. And I'm sure Makai doesn't mind the discussion. I'm pretty sure this has been on their mind since they won the chip. All time. I mean, you gotta put them number two, right? You gotta put them number two, right? Like, behind Goat Gang for sure. Goat Gang still number one, you know. But still, like, what? And it got, I don't know. It's hard. Looney Tunes only has one Super Bowl appearance, though. Does have a championship or one appearance. Two divisions. How do we weigh all of this? I could do winning percentage. I could do points scored per season. I could do division record. I could do division titles. But at the end of the day, the championships is what really matters. And so if there's a team with two championships and there's a team with one, no matter how often you make the postseason, it's like, at the end of the day, it's about the hardware. And if you don't got it, you just don't got it. Now, if we're going to rank teams all time, okay, you know, number two, MGB because of the rings, Looney Tunes three, okay, fine. But if we want to talk about the most consistent threat, like, if I'm going into 2024, 2025 season, and I'm like, the biggest question is, who's the, I mean, the question is, who's the biggest threat to GOAT Gang going into this season, contending for a title? I would still feel comfortable saying it would be Looney Tunes that would be the biggest threat, just based on consistency in the history. Did Montgomery Brawl just sweep GOAT Gang three times in one season? Like, just beat them three times in one season? Yes. Is it possible for Montgomery Brawl to miss the postseason next year because that's a trend that they have so far? Yes. These are all things that we have to factor into when we ask these questions and answer them. It's real close though. It's close. Can we do ties? We just do two-way tie for number two. Like, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I mean, Makai might not be cool with that. He don't want to be number two. I know Makai don't want to be number two. Makai going for ring number three. The same ring I've been going for the last few seasons. I'm quite sure. I'm sure he wants to usurp the throne. Already beat me in the Super Bowl. Gosh darn it. I won't even get it. I don't even know if I'll do a synopsis for myself, because everyone knows about me. Maybe I will. Maybe mine would just be 10 minutes. Everyone else's would be like 20. Mine would just be like 5-10 minutes. I'm going into right now. As far as right now, going into the next season, Makai and MGB are the reigning CFL champions. So maybe the question should be, who's the biggest threat to MGB? But that's just an easy answer. It's GOAT Gang. Like, it's Looney Tunes right there too. Like, that's what maybe we could throw Andy Reid's mustache in there after this year, because I'm just gonna go refer to Amari as Amari. Amari and Andy Reid's mustache put on the show in their first season, and then you never know who's gonna emerge next year. So, but just going off of this year the past few years, and then going into the next season, if the question was who's the biggest threat to MGB, it'd be GOAT Gang. Who's the biggest threat to GOAT Gang? It'd be Looney Tunes. That's just my opinion, and that's where we stand on it. As far as MGB though, I just want to say this to wrap it up. Just like I said earlier, just like Makai and Looney Tunes, like, nothing really more to prove. They don't need to go get a division title. They don't need more. They have two rings. Like, nobody else has two rings except one other team. There's nothing else to say. Like, what? We can have all this debate. We can have all this all day long. But at the end of the day, we're going into 2024 with MGB as the champion, as the reigning champion. Now, me personally, I got a lot of work to do, because I can't, man. Wait till 2024. Y'all wait till I'm coming back with a vengeance. You know, I can't wait. I can't even give too much away right now. Just wait on it. Anyway, that's enough. Let me get out of here. I gotta do Amari. I gotta do Andy Reid's mustache and That Boy Hurts. The Beer's Eagle is. I'm gonna try to get all of that done today. So, peace.